Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In this episode of This Lady Loves Sports, we're going to meet a guy who is arguably the biggest Laker fan in all of Southern California. And that says a lot. We welcome Jacob Imrani to This Lady Loves Sports.
Let's go!
Welcome to This Lady Loves Sports podcast with Pat Prescott. Sports. She knows it all and is here to talk about it. So get ready to hear sports talk in a way that you've never heard before. It's This Lady Loves Sports podcast. And here's your host, Pat Prescott.
This is Pat Prescott, and I'm delighted to be speaking to a very dear friend of mine today on This Lady Loves Sports. He is Jacob Imrani. For 20 years, he has been providing incredible service to people in Southern California who are hurt in accidents. And full disclosure, Jacob advertises on The Wave, and I am his endorser. And a big part of why I am, well, there's actually a few things. One is, I really like Jacob. He's very cool, a very cool guy. He's a wonderful family person. If you ever meet his family, you will fall in love with him, his beautiful wife, and his amazing boys. By the way, saw a picture of you guys up on the Jumbotron at the Laker game.
That was a fun night.
That was a moment. That was kind of cool.
That was a fun night.
But I think the thing that Jacob and I initially bonded over was sports. What we're going to talk about today, we are both huge fans, and he's somebody who really knows a lot about it. I mean, we just watch all the time. We listen to I actually hear Jacob a lot on sports radio, you know, when he calls in and they put him on the air and he can talk. And, you know, if you ever get tired of doing what you're doing, you know, you might think about that sports talk radio thing.
I love that stuff.
But we're going to talk about the Lakers. We're going to talk about L.A. sports. We're going to talk about Jacob's story in sports, because that's really what this podcast is about. You know, for me, you know, my dad and my brothers really made me fall in love with sports because I just had to watch so much of it with them. But I know for you, it's been kind of a lifelong thing too, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Sports is, you know, the thing that, you know, really has been great for me. You know, me and my brother used to do a lot of stuff during the weekends, and my dad has always been there for us and used to always come with us when we used to play basketball at the local YMCA in the neighborhood. And he used to come Saturday and sit there all day while we played and, you know, sort of got acclimated, you know, to our surroundings. And, you know, I consider it a real blessing, because not only, you know, do I think sports is really life. And, you know, what I was explaining, you know, I'm now doing it with my kids, and I coach every one of my kids. I got four boys, and I coach all four of them, all the way from 11 down to my 3-year-old. And, you know, I was just asked to join a board for the basketball league that I coach. And one of the things that I talked about the first time that I was, you know, up there at the board meeting is the fact that I really feel like sports is, you know, is life. You know, when people have an opportunity to play sports, they realize that that's very equivalent to what we go through in life. You know, in life, there's competition. In life, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. And really, the reality becomes is, how do you come back from it if you lose? And how do you stay humble when you win so that you don't get ahead of yourself?
And how do you form a team, you know, that really gives more meaning to any victory that you have? And I think that there's so many important lessons you can learn from participating in sports, from watching sports, from knowing the stories behind the people that we come to love, you know, in these games that we watch. And I'm sure a lot of that actually translates to your real work life and you know, with raising your kids even.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think you hit it on the head. You know, teamwork and knowing that you have to learn how to deal with other people, other personalities, and knowing that even in life, you know, you can't do it by yourself. You know, if you look at anybody's success story, you know, sounds great when they talk about how they made it, but, you know, it sounds even better when you listen to them explaining who along their life actually help them get to where they got to, being in the right place at the right time, making the right decision rather than the wrong decision, and who was it that was with them. So, you know, for me, I feel like when you look at sports, besides the excitement, besides the, you know, I think sports is about the only thing that could gather a bunch of people into a room, who have different opinions regarding politics, different opinions regarding just about everything in life, but they could all be cheering for the same team. And that's what brings people together. And that's, to me, is the beauty of sports.
Yeah, it is one of the things that really unites us. And, you know, you mentioned your dad and your brother and the experiences that you guys had together. You grew up here in Southern California.
Well, I came to L.A. when I was 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And
So you grew up here.
Exactly. Yeah. You know.
And what was it? What was your youth like as far as the L.A. teams? And I know you're in love with the Lakers, and I would imagine that was something that happened a long time ago.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm a Laker, not a fan, not a, you know, I've been called a super fan. I've been labeled the super fan, but I'm a fanatic. You know, when I came here and started following sports, that was a time where they had Magic Johnson, Byron Scott, Mike McGee, which a lot of people don't ever talk about, number 40. I still remember his number. And basically just getting involved and being blessed enough to be in a city that had an amazing, amazing basketball team. And being able to, you know, try to emulate some of those people and look up to them was a great way, you know, for me and my brother to be able to really get ourselves accustomed to life in the United States, let alone in life in L.A. And the great thing about it was that when I first, you know, came to L.A., I didn't speak English very well. I was learning, going through ESL, which is English as a second language. But when we would get out on the playground and we would get on the basketball court, you didn't have to talk. It was just basically, we're on the same team. As long as you know how to pass or shoot and do whatever you did, you were all on one team. And that was just so beautiful. Because,
so help you make you feel like you fit in.
Oh, yeah. You make friends and you fit in and, you know, makes you feel good about yourself. You know, you're not an outsider. And then, you know, as the time kind of goes by, you know, you built some amazing friendships, which now after, you know, 40 years or 35 years, I have friends of mine from those days coming back to me to reaching out and, you know, trying to reconnect. And, you know, those friendships, you know, from when you were little, I think are very, very special because nobody needs anything from each other. And they're really true, true, true friendships.
Mm, they are. And where were you born?
I was born in Iran.
You were born in Iran.
Yes.
So now when you were in Iran, you know, I'm sure you have to remember because you were just nine. You were nine when you left.
Sure.
Were you playing sports there too?
Yeah. So, you know, in Iran, the sport was soccer.
Is in most of the world.
Exactly. You know, so that's more of a national, sport. Mm-hmm. I do recall, you know, in that elementary school that we were, actually they did have basketball hoops, but I don't ever remember shooting a basketball hoop until I got to the States. But, you know, yeah, we played soccer, you know, ran around, did all the things kids do, but, you know, never to the extent where, you know, I arrived here and, you know, you actually had professional teams to follow. You know, in Iran, it's more your national team. Soccer is everything. When they're playing a soccer game or something, the whole, you know, country shuts down, which, you know, most of the outside world is like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we live in a place, you know, where you have, you know, two basketball teams, even though I don't consider the other basketball team in LA a real team. I feel like they're like a JV team.
Oh, that is just really mean-spirited of you.
I don't care how many games they win. The Clippers are always going to be the Clippers. But, you know, the Lakers are my team. And, you know, as we talked about, you know, they're my team. And, you know, I'm a fanatic about them. And my kids go to sleep talking about them. My little ones ask me every day, who plays tonight? Who are the Lakers playing tonight? So, you know, I'm glad that it, you know, it runs in the blood in the family.
Yeah, and it's a very, like you were saying, it's a great bonding thing for a family to be into doing that. But you mentioned that when you were 9-10 years old that it was a great time to be a Laker fan because of the wonderful team they had. I can't think of maybe but a couple of short periods in my life when it wasn't a good time to be a Laker fan. You know, I grew up on the East Coast and was in New York, you know, from high school on.
Oh yeah.
And I became a Knicks fan,
the like Mecca.
In the late 60s, the Mecca.
The Mecca.
Back when, I guess that was the best time ever to be a Knicks fan.
That's right.
We haven't seen a good one since then.
You had good timing back then.
Let me tell you, when I moved out here, my feeling was these Laker fans, especially whenever they were troubled, when Shaq left.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I remember that day.
Oh, poor Laker fans. So sad, you know. And you still had a great team left behind and still have more to come. But people here don't know how to go through that adversity. I think they're learning now, though.
Let me tell you this. I remember the day when it was announced at 3:30 in the morning that the Lakers were going to get Shaq. I remember it because I was studying for the bar, which is the test you have to take to become an attorney. And I used to study from 7 a.m. until God knows hours of the night, and mm-hmm. I was heading home from the library, and I remember that, you know, it was announced that the Lakers are going to get Shaq. And I remember that the city just was upside down. I mean, just a behemoth of a man. Shaq had the personality, and you knew that if he was coming here, you know, winning times were coming back. Unfortunately, I also remember the day when, you know, Kobe and Shaq, you know, were fighting. And because of the fact that I have some friendships with some of the players, I've been told the stories and everything that happened in the back that, you know, people on the outside would never hear. And to be honest with you, I think it was a sad day. I think, you know, Shaq and Kobe not being together had a lot to do with what I was talking about, is not getting ahead of yourself. You know, the greed factor really, really began to take control, because if Shaq and Kobe were together, they would have won at least another 2 to 3 championships. They could have been the best duo ever.
Was it the greed factor or is it the ego factor? I think the ego factor had a lot to do with that too.
You're right. I think, you know, the reason, and you're absolutely correct, I think the reason I say greed is because when you become too successful, you become greedy. They got...
For more success.
Right, exactly.
Least, yeah.
So they won so many championships that at that point, winning a championship was not, you know, what excited them anymore. Now, Kobe wanted to do it on himself, you know, by himself. His ego wanted to show that he doesn't need Shaq. You know,
Shaq wanted to have fun.
Exactly. Shaq wanted to do everything himself. He wanted to shut it down for the first, you know, few weeks, come into, you know, the season out of shape. He would usually use the first,
and
you know, month.
And play himself into
shape.
Yeah,
use the first month to, you know, get into shape and all that. And all of that is fine. But ultimately, that team could have won a lot more if the greed and, as you correctly say, the ego didn't get, you know, in front of them. And now, after the fact, they're coming back and they're talking about it. Oh, we could have been the best 1-2 punch and all that. And
but
I think,
you know why that is. You think what?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's, you know, they come back right now is because, to me, I think it's marketing, and it's also having to do with becoming relevant again, because I feel like these athletes have to be back into the spotlight and to talk about it.
You know what I think it has to do with? I think it has to do with growing up. You have to remember when we first met these people,
that's
they were 17, 18-year-old kids who had been catered to their whole life because they had athletic talent. Always somebody kissing their butt, you know, whatever you want, you can have it, you know. And they're little spoiled brats who are wealthy teenagers is what they are.
You're right.
But they're also under a microscope. So we are watching every move in there. Can you imagine?
Nope.
If people could see every dumb thing you did when you were 17,
you're
18,
right.
19 years old, or if you had as much money as they did, so you can really make big mistakes.
Oh, you're right.
You know? So we are watching them mature in front of our eyes. I mean, you know, Kobe was on The Talk just recently, and he, not as a guest, he was actually on the panel.
Oh, that's
and it was
awesome.
Funny because Jennifer York, who does the traffic for us in the morning, was saying, Kobe was up there with all those women holding his arm. I said, that's his life is The Talk.
That's right.
That's what he's got,
but
a
his
wife
life,
and three daughters.
Yeah, his life is, you know,
his,
doing The Talk with, the, you know, with the women
right.
in the house. That's right.
But I was thinking about just watching him there, because I mean, I've always admired him, even when I hated the Lakers when I first moved here and was such a Knicks fan that it seemed really disloyal to like the Lakers. I had to give up on that because hard to hate a team that keeps winning all the time. But, you know, I always respected Kobe for his work ethic, for what he did on the court and all of that. But I just thought that he had no personality. Look at this man now. He's got so much personality. He's funny. He's smart. He's got a lot to say. He's ambitious. He is, I think, adjusted really well, you know, to civilian life. But you know what it is? Jacob.
It's maturity.
He's grown up. Yeah. He's had kids now. He's made mistakes that he's had to, you know, face the music for. This is how we all grow up. So now, and Shaq too. I mean, they're grown now.
Well, you know, maturity
marketing
has
is in there too.
Right. But I mean, but I think you're right. I mean, maturity has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
And I feel like right now, when you look at what went on between them, I think you're seeing it being replicated with LeBron and Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, LeBron and Kyrie, basically Kyrie left because he wanted to lead his own team. He didn't want to be under LeBron's shadow. He went to, you know, the hated Celtics. And now recently, instead of waiting until he actually retired, he reached out to LeBron, basically apologizing for not understanding what it's like to be a leader. And now they're kind of building that relationship while they're still relevant, while they're still playing basketball.
All right. So what do you think?
Hey,
do you think Kyrie could be coming this way?
Hey, you know, I'll tell you something. I think right now, with the fact that we were able to bring L.A. Bron down to the Lakers, just about anybody's a possibility.
Which, by the way, I must mention, there are some here in Southern California who would say that you had something to do with that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
If you don't live in this area, you don't know that Jacob, during that whole push to get LeBron to come here, put up some incredible billboards with L.A. Bron on them.
That was our hashtag.
Which, by the way, you couldn't trademark that, huh?
No. No.
Because I'm seeing it now all over the place.
Yes. It's got a nice run and it keeps going.
It does keep going. But, you know, this is the kind of super fan that Jacob is. And when you can afford to do that, why not? But you threw up those billboards and I just thought it was the cutest thing. And, you know, what a real fan would do.
It was great. You know, we threw up three billboards and then right before free agency where we didn't really... Yeah, we weren't sure if he was going to come.
Now, when you put those first three up, he was going to be in town playing, right?
Wasn't it? Oh, yeah.
I think I seem to remember we talked about this, and you were like, I got to get the billboards up because he's going to be here playing the Lakers.
So it was interesting. I think 10 days before, Philadelphia had put up a billboard saying, come join the process or complete the process or something corny like that. And I'll never forget, you know, I was sitting there and I said, if Philadelphia can do it, why can't someone in LA do it? So, you know, I worked with, you know, my great team and we put together three or four billboards. I don't even recall. We put in three or four billboards. One of them, it was a answer to Philadelphia's instead of come and complete the process. It was forget the process, come win some championships in LA. But we put it at a time where LeBron was actually going to land in LA to play the Clippers on a Thursday, the Lakers on a Sunday, and he was going to be here for 5 days. So we worked so hard, and I was giving everybody nightmares in order for us to get the billboards, find the right locations.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. How did you identify the location?
Yeah.
Listen, did you try to bribe the limo driver? Because that's the way to do it.
You know,
really.
Let me tell you, it's funny. We try to do everything, but we got a good one in West LA because most of these, you know, these basketball teams that come, they go to UCLA, and that's where they practice. Mm-hmm. So we were able to get a billboard right where you try to go to UCLA, and we put up one of our biggest ones.
You also had one on that route from the airport
exactly.
on La Cienega.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Uh-huh. So we put up one there on their way in. So, you know, a lot of it, you know, as I said, again, it was our team. I didn't do it by myself. We had a great team that all worked, you know, very, very hard to get it there. But the cool thing about it is that on that Thursday, when, you know, they came here, he got here on a Wednesday, our billboards went up at like 5 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday. And in the afternoon, the press asked him, have you seen the billboards put up here in LA by a super fan? And he said, he actually commented, says, yeah, I've seen them. My kids love it. I think it's a great, you know, compliment for somebody in a city to want you to come and, you know, play for them in their city. And that kind of started, you know, sort of the movement. And we had another 2 or 3 months throughout where New York put up some and other cities put up some billboards. And then it was 2 weeks before free agency, and we were all sitting around saying, is this really going to happen? Is it not going to happen? And we said, you know what, let's just go all in. And we put up 50 billboards in LA. All right, I mean, that was like
they were everywhere.
Yeah, my wife knew she could not spend anything for the next 6 months, but they were everywhere. And, you know, now we're here celebrating. We got, you know, we have the king here. It's been, you know, it's been great. You know, we've had some ups and downs in the past couple of months, but it's just like anything else. And I think, you know, we're gonna have a great next 4 years, and, you know, I'm super excited about it.
You know, I've always felt like if you don't like LeBron James, he's probably not on your team. I mean, that's pretty much the only reason you could not like this dude. Somebody who's been acted like a grown man much of his career. It's so interesting with his background and everything that he ends up, you know, being someone who was not raised by his dad, but has ended up being an incredible father, a great example in so many ways, and balling out even now in his 30s. I mean, this guy is a beast and a leader, a real leader. And as you mentioned earlier, a recruiter. And we certainly hope that he will be recruiting, though I must say, I do like that young core of Lakers. And, you know, I think finding that balance between youthful energy and skilled.
Absolutely.
You know.
You need the vets.
Yeah,
you need that young youth also that's going to be able to do it when those vets don't have the legs those nights.
Yeah, so what do you think is going to happen?
You know, I got to tell you something. I feel like, you know, I feel like what's happening in the past few days, you realize that a lot of negotiation is happening through the media. And basically, you can tell, and it happened, you know, last year with Paul George and happened, you know, with Kawhi Leonard, is that, you know, all the way back.
It happened with Chris Paul.
Yeah, it happened to Chris Paul. And I mean, that right there, if the NBA wouldn't have vetoed that trade, the Lakers would have had Chris Paul and that, you know, run would have continued. We wouldn't even have that, you know, couple of years where, you know, we couldn't do anything until we got, you know, Pau Gasol coming over, and then we were able to win more championships.
Which was magic.
Yeah.
What a great acquisition.
Which, again, you look at that and you see that the Lakers always are able to pull a rabbit out of the hat. What's happening now, because we got the, you know, greatest player in the world right now playing for us, is that all the other teams are trying to, you know, team up and not allow other people to come. So, you know, from what I heard is, you know, Popovich even called Dale Demps, who's the general manager of the Pelicans, and said, don't give in to the Lakers. I mean, you got to really think about what a brand you are when you're winning or when you're losing. You're so relevant that teams are going out of their way in order to try to team up, not to allow you to get a player. And, you know, in the past few days, I think you see it. There's a lot of negotiation happening, you know, through the media. And I feel like it's important for us to get Anthony Davis, no question. But I also feel like the Lakers have to draw the line in the sand at some point to let them know that this is our offer. We'll do it before the trade deadline's over. Because once you get into the summer and you get the Celtics trying to throw in their hat and the Pelicans are going to try to use that in order to, you know, get a bidding war, then I think the Lakers have to sit back and just hope that, you know, AD is going to come here right afterwards. It hasn't worked out for the past two. Didn't work out for Paul George. We lost him. Didn't work out for Kawhi yet. We don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, it doesn't seem like he may come. But, you know, I'm just excited about the fact that the NBA is so powerful that they literally hijacked Super Bowl week. In the middle of everybody talking about the Super Bowl, we started talking about trade rumors, what the NBA, and that's, you know, the brilliance of, you know, NBA and their marketing. They've now become 365 days. Even when they're, you know, when they're playing, this is what happens. When it's Super Bowl week, they hijack it. When they're not playing, there's news. So, you know, I mean, that there's a lot to be said about that brand.
Yeah, you know, David Stern was a great commissioner, but Adam Silver has come in and hasn't missed a beat. I mean, just
seamless.
It's been incredible just to watch. They are so smart with how they run that league. But, you know, looking at that Super Bowl thing, come on, let's face it. First of all, a lot of people felt like the Rams shouldn't have been there.
My Cowboys should have been there.
You know, then there's the fact of the game itself. So that wasn't that much to compete with, really. But, you know, back to the idea of what's going to happen next. You got to love being a Laker fan, because who is better managed than that team? Now with Jeannie Buss back in charge, and I love and adore her, and she's
amazing.
You know, she's her father's favorite son.
Okay? She really is. she's the closest thing to her father.
She's amazing. And with Magic being in the building and Rob Pelinka, I mean, you know, you've got some great minds, and all of the Laker alumni who are always in there, who just never give it up.
Because you had a sit down with, you know, Byron.
With Byron we talked
recently.
About, yeah. And all of these guys still love their team, you know, no matter what it is or where they go. But let's face it, the Lakers are like the Patriots of the NBA.
They are.
They're like the Yankees.
They are.
You know, they are the team that people love to hate because they're so good and because they win so
success.
Much. Success. Yeah, success. People get jealous.
Continued success. Yeah, nobody wants to see somebody. Unfortunately, you know, we live in a world where, you know, forget about all the fake stuff that happens outside. But down deep inside, you know, the jealousy is very rampant, and nobody wants to see anybody else succeed. But as you said, you know, as a Laker fan, I think I'm happy with who's running the organization. I'm happy with, you know, having Jeannie up there, you know, making the decisions. She's given a lot of power to Magic and Pelinka. Those are two people that are completely opposites of each other, which makes a great team. And, you know, for us Laker fans, I think it's exciting to be relevant again and to see them trying. I will tell you one thing, though. I'm hoping that they're going to be able to show the league that not only the Lakers are, you know, high-level brand, but they're going to be able to skirt around everything that's happening right now. Because if every single time they want to try to get a player that, you know, the whole league gangs up against them,
you have to be able to break
that up, because I don't know how teams are allowed to, you know, collude and not allow you to get a player just because they can't get that player. But, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, the brains that are, you know, in power right now are going to be able to come up with something and be able to get us something before the, you know, trade deadlines.
We'll see what happens. We've got a couple minutes left. I'd love love to hear your prediction on where we will be this time next year. What do you think?
Oh.
What Lakers going to look like? Who's going to be on that team? Who's going to be coaching? All of those things. What do you think? Because then we can revisit this next year, Jacob.
That's right.
We can do a little hindsight thing and see just how good you are.
I will tell you, if we land AD, if we get Anthony Davis, I really do believe that there is a high level of possibility that we'll pick up Kyrie Irving as well. Because when you look at way they're set up, you know, LeBron and Kyrie have a relationship. Kyrie wants to win.
That's a scary thought.
Well, but if you really think about it, you need your point guard. And in order for them to, you know, pick up AD, they're going to have to let go of some point guards. They're going to need to, you know, have the future. So you've got, you know, Anthony Davis. You've got, you know, LeBron being there for a couple of years. He doesn't have to do everything himself, which will extend his career. And you can pick up Kyrie. With that being said, if that doesn't occur, I can tell you that the future is extremely bright. And whether it means that we stick
Either
to the
way.
Young core, yeah, we stick to the young core and we pick up a couple of vets to continue to make. You are going to pick up another, you know, superstar next year. So I guess the big thing for us to be excited about is that, are we going to have two superstars next year? Or are we going to be able to swing a trade and have three superstars here? And I think that's, you know, what I wake up for every morning. I look at that, you know, I look at those apps. I look at all those pop-ups just to see what's going to happen next. And excitement and looking forward to the future is, you know, really why, you know, we all live, so.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to look forward to, and I can't wait to see. We will revisit this, and you must come back and be a frequent guest.
Oh, it'll be a pleasure. Always great hanging out with you and just, you know, just talking.
Hey, this guy loves sports as much as this lady does.
Yes, absolutely.
Jacob Imrani, our guest today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.